God will take care of you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this hour which we're able to gather together in your presence. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures we've already heard that speak of your faithfulness, your goodness, and our desire to worship you, to bow down before you and you alone. Thank you for your word. And as we consider the scripture before us on this hour, thank you for these scriptures. Bless them, not only to our hearing, but also to our living. We pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will take us to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And the lectionary is quite interesting this week. It invites us to look at the first verse and then skip down to verses 7 and read all the way down to verse 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. And then verses 7 through 14. I want to talk for just a little bit this morning on selecting the best seats. Selecting the best seats. Luke chapter 14. One Sabbath when he was to dine at the house of a ruler of that belonged to the Pharisees, they were watching him. Verse 7. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, and then he marked how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by one to a marriage feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest a more eminent man than you be invited by him, and he who invited him, both you, who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And they will begin with shame to take the lowest place. And when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, come up higher.' And all who sit at table with you, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he said also, the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Choosing the best seat, selecting the best seat. Now that's something that most of us perhaps can relate to. We have just come through a summertime when there perhaps were a number of gatherings. Graduation have invited many of us to various graduations. There are sporting events and concerts, and you're invited to a wedding somewhere. And well, weddings are a little bit different nowadays. They seat you where your name tag is. We can have a little bit of fun with that, by the way. Just switch the name tags. If you get there a little bit early, just, no, never mind. But you're not prone to choose your own seat. But at concerts, you can. And sometimes, you might be wanting to choose the best seat, the highest seat. And I love how Jesus tells a story. When Jesus begins to give an illustration, he uses where he is at the time. And the Bible says on one particular day, not really important to know which Sabbath day it was, but on one particular Sabbath, Jesus was invited to some Pharisees' home. And I'm inviting you to notice the words, the last few words of verse number 1 in chapter 14 of Luke, after he had been invited by this nameless Pharisee. Scripture says, they were watching him. They were watching him. That word to watch or to look is to scrutinize, is the Greek word there. It is, if I were to use common lingo, they were eyeballing him. They were looking at his every move so that they might catch him. They were looking for that aha moment. They wanted to grab Jesus as something inappropriate. They wanted to wait until perhaps he said something to stir up the people. We got you. They wanted to see if he would do something to break the Jewish law. They were watching him. They were not watching him in the way that we encourage us to watch him today. We look to him in faith and in truth. We look to him in love and in faithfulness. We look to God and depend upon him. But they were watching him to catch him do something that he ought not to do. That's something interesting also in this text, that not only were they watching him, but he was watching them. And then Jesus begins to talk, and then this is what he says. Somebody was invited into a wedding, whenever you are. And the weddings back in those days were fine festivals. I just mentioned a moment ago about weddings, and Colleen and I have had privileges whenever we are invited to come to an after-wedding celebration and go to some fantastic places. And it's finally laid out and all. But weddings back in those days lasted, these Jewish weddings, for days. And in some instances, they lasted a week. That's a long time. And when you're invited to a grand buffet, a grand gathering, it really depends upon where you sit. It's a place of prominence. The one who invited you, by the way, I ought to pause. To explain, and some of you know already, but when we say sit, we're not really meaning sit, like you and I will sit at a table, like you right now are sitting in a pew, and me and just a little bit, every time we sing, I sit in that chair there. That's why the songs are long. I just love to say. What we say, they were really reclining, because the tables were very close to the floor. So it was no room, very little room, for you to sit under the table. You reclined. But there were places of prominence there. Jesus said, when you are invited, don't automatically go up to the best seating area, because something embarrassing might happen. You could be seated there and all of a sudden, someone would say, can you come with me for a little bit? We want to reseat you. There's somebody who's here who's better than you, who is more honored than you. Guess what happens? Boosh. You want to talk about being embarrassed. Boosh, you mean you want me to get up in front of all these people and go somewhere else? You see, our world tells us today to look for the biggest area. Do what satisfies yourself. Build yourself up. Put yourself first. And what Jesus is seeming to say, and not really seeming, what Jesus is saying is, put yourself last. Go to the lowest place. And there is a great honor for those who, while in the lowest place, are brought up to a place of prominence. You see, we do things differently in our society. We say, we go from real low, and we really made it when we go as high as we can, and when people will call us, you know, of honored titles and treat us with royal regency, and they just bow down to us and all the rest. And Jesus says, no, if you want to be great, be the least. And then he went on to illustrate it this way. He said to the host that great gave such a fantastic feast. He's looking at all those around us. And he said, you know, when you invite people to come on in, don't invite those who can pay you back. You know how we sometimes try to outdo each other? Don't invite someone else who can pay you back. But go out in the streets. The wording is not in this text. In other texts, we hear in the highways, in the byways, and invite and listen to the list of people who are still with us today down in verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. The poor, the lamed, the maimed, maimed and blind. Those who cannot, no matter what they do, they cannot outdo your generosity. You know what? That's exactly what God does. You see, God has all of the goodness and grace of his kingdom. And he invites you and he invites me to come into his presence. And there's no way in the world I can repay God for God's goodness. God didn't do it so I could repay him. God did it because he wanted to communicate how much he loves us. And everyone in God's kingdom is blessed. The poor, the maimed, the blind, those who cannot pay back, the well-known and the unknown, those who have and those who have not, all a part of God's kingdom. Where do we sit? And then wrapped in this passage, quickly before we close, wrapped in this passage is the idea of where we, with whom we seat, or sit, with whom we sit when we go into a place. And it's different when we worship normally in the church. It's so interesting to see how oftentimes we have our own pews. We have our own seats. I know when I was growing up, Fran, right behind you was where our pastor would always sit, in front of where Doug is, and behind Fran, that second pew. And every Sunday, if we had a guest or something, they'll sit on that second pew. Now, I would sit when I was growing up right where this couple is right here, and that's where my seat was. And I always, in church, if you knew, if Andrew was coming, he was right there. When Bill was here, I know where he seated, right where you are right now, Bill, right? And I know Farmer, and I know Linda, and I know, we all have our seats, right, George? And we all have our particular places of sitting. And that's okay, that's wonderful. That's great. And yet when we're invited to different places, we don't just sit with those whom we know, or those that we know can pay us back. Let us also sit with the stranger among us. Let us show kindness to those who we may never ever see again, and we may never ever cross paths with again. We show kindness to them. And then the last thing that we see in this text is verse 14. And Jesus says, and you will be blessed. Here? Now? No. You'll be blessed tomorrow? Probably not. You know what he said, you'll be blessed? He said in verse 14, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. By and by, when the Lord calls us up to glory, that's when God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been good in little. Now I will grant you much. Where do you sit? Where do I sit? With whom do we linger? To whom do we show favor? Would it be to God that we hear the words of Jesus? Don't sit in the favor spot. Sit down yonder. And if it's so that they call you up, great. If not, stay where you are. And when you show kindness to others, don't show kindness just so that you might be outdone and they'll show you kindness too. But show kindness to those who cannot pay you back. They cannot do good to you and may never ever. But they may show kindness to someone else because you, how do we say it today? Pay it forward, right? And they may show kindness to you because you show kindness to someone else. A moment ago as we were gathering together, I heard what I think was the door. And I think we were praying or doing something. And I instinctively opened up my eyes because I thought about shootings that has happened, not only in the schools, but recently in church. These children were gathered together and they were praying. You just never know when horrible things happen, and sometimes they happen in places that you just don't expect. And isn't it horrible that we would think about that in church? This is the time that we live in. There's so much evil going around. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I are rays of light that this world desperately looks forward to? There's too much hurting and harming among each other. Let us be those who sit in places where no one else will sit. We show kindness to persons no one else will even regard. And not do it so that our names might be in the bulletin next week or up in lights or that people will praise us or put us on Facebook and say how great of a person we are. But we'll do it because God has done it for us. And that's how he has treated us. And one of these days in God's kingdom, we'll be joined together with all those who are gathered there now. What a day that will be. Holy Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Father, that while people were scrutinizing you and looking at your every move, that did not deter you. That did not bother you because you are about your Father's business. But what concerned you at that time was how your followers reacted in this old world. And Father, you're concerned about how we react in this old world. Help us to listen to your words. Help us to live in such a way that pleases you, that you may look upon us and say, well done. Help us not to want the applause of the world around us, women or men or children, but help us to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Right now, as we receive our offerings, I invite our ushers to come at this time. Thank you. Now, Father, we praise and bless you and thank you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask your blessing upon them in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Let us pass the peace. To be able to pass the peace and to share one and the other. And we're so grateful to God for that privilege. That's one of my favorite parts of worship. It's not only as we share the word of God together, but as I watch and I see how we gather together and say pleasant words. You know, a smile goes a long way. And you can offer a smile to someone and it'll brighten their day because you never know what they're going through. Oh, we may tell each other, oh, I'm doing fine, I'm doing great, but inwardly our worlds are crashing. And just a kind word is sufficient enough. Thank God for that. As we gather for our morning prayers and Lord's Prayer, made mention a moment ago of the shooting in Minnesota. As we think about all sorts of things that's happening in our world today, some things we know of because the news covers it. There's a whole lot more going on that the news does not cover, and still worthy of our prayers. Keep young people in prayer as they return back to school, and educators as they seek to teach them. For college students who are traveling back and forth, many of our loved ones and friends are traveling on this weekend and traveling back and forth. Please remember these. Please remember the sick among us, not only within our congregation, but in our community and home. And I wonder if there's additional prayer requests that we wish to remember to share at this hour. Yes, Linda?
Debbie isn't feeling well today.
Oh, bless her heart.
And she really wanted to be here, but she couldn't make it. And also my sister-in-law, Nancy, she's been having severe headaches, and we don't know why. And so I said I would ask for prayer for her.
Her headaches, absolutely. Yes.
My friend Jen, and God knows why.
Jen?
Jen.
I'm sorry.
Jen?
Jen.
Jennifer.
Oh, thank you. Bless your patience. My hearing aids are not picking up words. And Jen sounds like hen. Yeah. And so I just thank God if you're not hearing impaired. Yes,
Debbie. My friend Tracy Gasso was the one we had on the prayer chain last week.
Yes.
She has yellow fever, which was not connected to the cancer. So they had to suspend the cancer treatments till she's off the antibiotics for the yellow fever.
Right. And I remember you've sent me a note regarding that, and While we praise the Lord, it's not cancer. We certainly will pray for a release from this yellow fever for Tracy. And for Jen, I won't forget Jen, I guarantee you. And then keep Debbie in prayers and Nancy in prayers as well. Are there any others? All right, yes, Linda.
My friend Susan isn't feeling good today.
Susan, okay. Isn't it wonderful to pray one for the other? It certainly is. Yes, Jack.
My Sally is traveling, I think, today from Colorado to here. And I'm just afraid if she has a safe trip.
Now, Jack, is she flying or flying? Okay. Praying for Sally as she travels. Boy, I missed this. It was great being away. Certainly is when you're able to take some time away, and it was fantastic to be able to spend together with family. And it's good to be within the household of God with the family of God. So let us pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to gather together to worship you. Friend played the special El Shaddai that speaks of the Hebrews who, when they look to you as that one who provides, who's that mighty God, who's it's one translation of the word Shad is the breasted one, the mighty breasted one. The way the Hebrews who were thinking is that just as a mother cares for their children, you care for us. You bring comfort. You bring sustenance. You bring a release from fear and uncertainty. Father, you are that one who cares for your own. And Father, we think of those who are bereaved on this day. I think of those who are in Minnesota are burying their children, and others who are in hospitals praying for the best, for the recovery. I pray, Father, for the family of the one who created all this. And they too mourn and grieve in different ways. Father, we pray also for many who are in the ravages of war. War of any kind and in every place. Holy Father, send peace. May we, like the prophet of old, turn our weapons into pruning hooks, where men and women study war no more. Holy Father, we thank you that we can pray one for the other. I pray for Debbie. We pray for Susan. We pray for Jen. Pray, Father, for Nancy. We pray for Susan. We pray for Tracy. We think, Father, also of Sally as she travels. We pray, Father, for one another, and some of us have gathered in this space, and we have loved ones in our minds and our hearts. And while we may not have spoken their names or their conditions out loud, Father, you know it all together. Oh, we're so thankful you do. And Father, we pray also for those who lead us. May they look to you, whether it's federal government, local, state, community. Father, may they look to you for wisdom and guidance and discernment. Father, we pray for our young people as they return back to school. Thank you for the educators who are tasked with teaching them. Bring protection to every place of learning. Father, and then we pray for those who are traveling back to school and traveling back and forth, and some are yet to start yet at school. And while many others have, there's still a few that have not. And so we remember them as well. As we spend a few moments in silent prayer, Holy Father, we pray that you will hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us join together in our last hymn of praise, hymn number 337, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Let us sing together. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. castle, sky above.